Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Can you guys please stand with me so we can open up in prayer? And bow your heads. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. Lord, we ask that you just bless this day. Bless Henry's word, which is your word, Father God. And we ask that you minister to every person here with the struggle, with the chain, with any stronghold that they're going through. Lord, I ask that you just move them. Father, place your Holy Spirit in each inside of us. Lord, move within us, Father God. And I just ask that you just lift up everybody in this room, Father God. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Yep. Amen.
Amen. You know, there's something about worship. It really can be a place of rest and strengthening and uplifting and encouraging, all of the things that you need. Because when the world around us gets so noisy sometimes, it's really great to come to a place where we can just quiet it all. Woo! It really is the act of doing the opposite of what you feel sometimes, right? Yes. When you're feeling so down, so rough, so maybe beat up, whatever it might be, just worn. Choosing in those moments to just go against everything you feel and say, God, I'm gonna worship you through it anyways. Yeah. It can be such a powerful thing in your life. Because it's in those moments where you really just wanna maybe lay down or sleep or do something else. It can be those moments that really allows God to move in your life, because now you're doing contrary to what you feel. You know, I know that some of the most powerful moments for me have been moments where I felt like God's not speaking, God's not saying it, I just don't know. And all of a sudden, if I just allow Him to move, it's a learning process, right? It's learning that it's not about the me, 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 and the I'm tired, or I feel this way, or it's about Him and what He's doing. It's why when we allow ourselves to let the Spirit go before us, we begin to allow something to happen in our lives that begins to just strengthen us in every single moment. Because now where we were placing worldly things in front of us, we've chosen, no, that's not important anymore. It's you, God. And as we do that, He begins to pour things into your life like He has never poured before. You'll begin to see things just wash out of your life, not by your doing, but by His doing. You'll begin to see things just pulled up and pulled forth. You'll begin to see gifts that you never knew you had just come forth out of your life. Because now you're not operating in you. You're operating in Him. Which is what we've always meant to be in. You're made in His image for a reason. Because all of the things that are in the Bible are for you. They're for you every single day. I am more than a conqueror. With faith like a mustard seed, I can move mountains. It's all things that have been given to you. They're not just words thrown out there for maybe somebody. They're promises for you to stand on, for you to trust in, for you to believe in, for you to see come forth in your life all the time. Not just every once in a while, not just sometimes, but all the time. So this morning, as we go back into this song, I just want to encourage you, whatever you brought in, lay it down. whatever the feelings might be, whatever you might be going through, whatever it is, just lay it down this morning and allow the Spirit to go before you in everything, moving you forward, showing you what He has, giving you more in every aspect of your life. Allow Him to move and get the rest out of the way.
Draw from Him. Yesterday morning when I woke up, I was a crab. I was straight up crabby. I didn't know what else to do. So I reached out to God and I said, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. And I felt it lift. It changed my day. When I started my day focusing on Him, it lifted. That crabbiness was gone. Draw from Him.
Yeah, I like what my sister over here in the Lord was saying earlier about, you know, what happens when we put God first in our day-to-day lives. And this morning, I was reading the Word in Psalms 39:7, and that actually talks about that a little bit. It says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Amen. And so I just thought that was really a good scripture, and I just wanted to take time to share that with everyone here. Hopefully, you got something from it. Amen.
All right, so I just got a couple things. First thing is I want to say I'm so honored to be a member of this body of believers. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that have been going through some things lately. And I've just seen how everybody's come together to help one another. And I just you know, want to say thank you for that. It's amazing because that's what we're supposed to be. We're not just supposed to be people that just show up to church and then leave. We're supposed to be living life with one another. Before Jesus went on the cross, he prayed a prayer, and part of that, it says this, my prayer is not for them alone, which he was talking about his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them glory that you gave me, that you may be, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. There's power in unity. Hold on to that. And I also wanted to bring this up last week because I don't know if anybody kind of felt bad for not being at the retreat. Vance, we don't retreat, we advance. So I want to say something. You know, it was a special time. It was great, right? I mean, those of us went. It was great, right? I mean, almost the whole service was dedicated to talking about the awesome things that God did for people, right? But, you know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he didn't just die on the cross to forgive our sins, but he gave us access to something different. Okay, we don't need somebody to lead us into the presence of God. We can go there ourselves. See, there it was a special time, but there wasn't anything kind of crazy about what we did. There wasn't something super special about what we did, even though it was special. You understand what I'm saying? The thing that we did that was different than just normal everyday living is that we said, God, we're going to take this moment for you. We're going to get rid of all of our distractions. We're going to say, you know what? Some other people invited me to this. I was planning on doing that. But instead we said, Lord, this time is for you. that we're going to be with you. And we talked about fasting last week too. I mean, that's another part where we're just saying, God, I'm searching for you. I mean, we all know Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. But 12 and 13 is where it's important. Because it says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So know that at any moment, if you want that deeper relationship with God, you seek him with all of your heart. You don't have to wait till an advance or a retreat to do that. You don't have to wait for any time special. You make the time for God.
And I give honor to the Holy Spirit because he works in unity also. Because as he said that, I said, it's not ironic that the Lord took me to Matthew 6. And he says, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So praise God, that is the message he's saying today. Seek him first and all things shall be added. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're questioning, know that he is with you, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he loves our praises and worship. He loves our time with him. And we can do this anywhere. Wherever we're at, we can seek him and find him. That is his word this morning. Thank you.
If anybody noticed that the screen was flipping around, I was trying to put up the song that kept saying over and over again, he is for you, he is for you. He is for you. He is for you. Regardless of what you're going through, he is for you. When you're saved, when you're born again, when you have the Holy Spirit, when you live for Jesus, he is for you. So that's my word. Word of encouragement for the day.
Yes, I just want to share. I get emotional. It's a dream I had October 10th, 1998, at 3:13 in the morning. I awoke with the greatest feeling of joy and happiness I have ever felt. It's from a dream I had about God. I dreamed that God came and put his arms out for me. I couldn't see his face, but he had a large body like a daddy. I ran to him as fast as I could and jumped into his arms. Although I was a grown-up, in my dream I felt like I was the size of a child in God's arms. He picked me up and hugged me and twirled around with me in his arms. I was hugging his neck so tight I felt like he was as happy as I was at that moment. In my whole life, I have never experienced that intense happiness or joy as I did in that dream last night. It seemed to fill my whole body. It was so overcoming that it actually woke me up. And after I woke up, this feeling was still within my body. In my dream, I told God that I had heard stories about God coming for his children and had seen pictures of Jesus with the children, but that I never thought that I would feel his arms feel the arms of God around me. I wish I could explain just how intense this feeling of joy was within me. It was truly, I can't see. It was truly amazing within me. It was truly amazing. Maybe that is the kind of joy we will feel when Christ finally comes for us.
Is there anybody that loves Jesus in the house today? You know, yesterday morning, I woke up with a frog throat. And I went into my prayer closet and I was going to worship the Lord. And when the first words came out, some of the words wouldn't even come out. Some of them were just so off tune and everything, you couldn't believe it. And I thought, I'm not going to do this. This isn't worshiping the Lord with honor. But something came in me and said, oh no, you're going to worship anyway. I worshiped and sang 10 songs. And the glory of the Lord came upon me. This, when you are weak, He is strong. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He wants our love, no matter what condition we're in. He wants our worship and our praise. He wants us to rise up against anything that's hindering you and coming against you, to stand in His name, to stand for Him and not against Him, because you are a child of the Most High God, and you can do anything through Christ, anything. When you think you can't do something, just talk to Him. He will help you. He says, I will teach you all things. So when you're weak and you don't think you should do something, just stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway because Christ is in me. Thank you.
Okay, this is my first time here, but the Lord brought me here. I looked up on Google this morning and I said, Lord, I need you to send me to a church that's filled with your spirit, and this is where I came. Praise God. So I'm going to hit up on a little what everyone's been saying. Let me tell you, I was labeled with fibromyalgia, osteoarthritis, and my knees are supposed to be replaced. But guess what? Jesus heals. Jesus heals. I was in bed. The enemy was trying to kill me. And guess what? He's right. When you're weak, when you're crying, when you're in pain, when you're defeated, no, you're not. That's the enemy of the lie. That's a lie, the enemy. So we must be in the spirit. We must press in. We must press in. Because I am telling you, as a witness, God heals everything, mental, emotional. I've been healed of depression. I've been healed in my body. And when I go back to get my x-rays, I am going to flash those x-rays to show the healing that Jesus has done in my body. And the thing is that the most thing is that I am 49 years old and God has done more in my life than most people have had. And everything that they say is impossible, God is of the possible, okay? And I'm telling you, trust Him. It's what He says all the time. Trust Him. He loves you. He has the best interest for you. And when He tells you to do something and the Holy Spirit leads you, do it in obedience, because the blessings are great. You will feel the pouring of the Holy Spirit on you from the moment you wake up till you go to sleep, and He's in your dreams, right? Amen. So I am encouraging you all to listen to the Holy Spirit and be led by the Spirit, not our feelings, not our flesh. Press in with prayer. Go to your prayer closets. I lose time and it could be 2 hours, 3 hours, because I'm in the Spirit. I have that connection with the Lord. But I will tell you, the biggest thing is to trust Him. He told me to sell and get rid of everything because I said I'm going to serve Him. And I said, I'll do whatever you want. Well, you better be careful, because the Lord will say, okay. So I had to give up all my possessions and die of my flesh, of my worldly used to's comfort. But you know what? The joy and excitement that's in me, I don't care. I don't care that I came with my suitcase and my dog, because I've got the Lord. I've got Jesus and I've got the Holy Spirit, and I am on fire, and I'm going to spread the good news and the love of Jesus. So I encourage you all, no matter what the situation is, you are the victorious people, because He has gone before us and He is victorious, and we know that His foot is on the head of Satan. Remember that. Satan is below our feet. He is not on us. So be in the Spirit, be bold, and do not fear, because that's a lie of the enemy. We will live with no fear. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I encourage you all, no matter what time of day it is, when you start getting something in your head, you say, not today, Satan, because I am the child of God. Today, I am a conqueror. I am healed. I am full of His joy. And that's all it takes, you guys. When you can go on 7 medications, or and your doctor says you're never going to get off of them, and the Lord heals you, let me tell you, anything that comes up in your mind, your finances, anything, you guys press into Him all the time. And that's what we have a church body for. And I've been involved in a lot of churches. I've been over to Africa. I've done wonderful things. Let me tell you, the body of Christ is amazing. And when we press in with each other, when we sit there and hold each other up, lift each other up, not down, lift up. Let's do this, because I've seen the body of Christ across this nation. I've seen it over in Africa. And when I see the body that's tight, that's a family, that's in God's love, right? Man, I'll tell you, things are going to happen. You will be blown away by those things. And we just have to be patient and wait for His timing and the things that He's going to bring for this church. I'm just saying, that's what the Lord was telling me. I am so blessed to meet all of you and then to be in the presence of His Spirit here. And I'm just absolutely blessed. And I just want to let you guys know, He loves us. Man, He's in our corner. He's our fighter, right? So you guys just stay in that, because we are the army that's going to go out in that nation. We are going to conquer, and we are going to defeat Satan in the physical realm here. While Jesus has already gone before us in the spiritual, right? We just got to walk in that. Walk in the faith. That's all I'm saying. Walk in the Lord.
Oh, I'll praise God. Let's give Him a clap. Hallelujah. Do you realize that Jesus is in the house? Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Oh, can I tell you, if He walked in, if he could actually see Him standing right here, oh, you wouldn't be sitting down. Oh, now I tell you, let me tell you, you'd be up there. Hey, let me get close. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Wouldn't you say that? It is good to be in a place where you can just praise God, and you can open your lips and you can say, God, I just love You. I don't care about what people are saying around me. It don't matter, God. I just want to tell You I love You, God. I need You, Father. Hallelujah. Jesus, there's nobody like You, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, whoo, hallelujah. Folks, I sense in my spirit we're going to see Him soon. This sooner than you think. Amen. Hallelujah. The glory of God is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's what the Word of God says. You know, the Word of God says that the earth was baptized in water. How many of you remember that? Does anybody remember? We call it the deluge. Is that what it's called? The deluge. 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 The flood. Let's just call it a flood. All right. It says the earth was baptized in water. Ooh, but let me tell you something. I know that this earth is going to get baptized in fire, is what the Word of God says. And I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it's the kingdom of God on the earth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's going to shake some people up. They're going to look like, oh my God, what is this? And the Word of God says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. every knee. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Every knee. Hallelujah. Folks, it's best to get them knees bending now. Amen. Hallelujah. It's best if you start worshiping God with all your heart now. Amen. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you to coming to Sarita House of Worship this morning. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, so I put my hands again and again. Thank you, Father. Father, all I have is a hallelujah. All I've got is praise. You don't need nothing from us, Father. But oh, how we need you. A king, I'm singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hey. Hey, look at somebody, say, God loves you. Hallelujah. And tell them back, hey, God loves you too. Tell them, I don't know why. Come on, man, but God loves you too. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Yes, amen, hallelujah. Come on, man. Praise God. This is called the house of worship, you know. I don't know what people are expecting when they come in, but they ought to see some worship, don't you think? Amen, praise God, amen. It ought to be, hallelujah. Hey, praise God. Where were we saying? I don't know where I heard. I think it was Friday night, a couple of nights ago, where the brother was speaking to us, said, man, you know, we don't lie to one another. We sing our lies, oh, to God. Oh, boy. Oh, man. That was a dangerous thing to say. But sometimes it's true. Can we say amen? Amen. No, don't say amen. Don't let it be true. Hey, I mean, you know, amen means so be it. Amen. No, we want to worship the King. Do you know you can worship the King at Burger King? Glory to God. Ooh. Taco Bell. Safeway. In and out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In and out. Look at the bottom of that cup. And generally, I'll say John 3:16. Have you seen that? Yeah. Just look at the bottom of the cup and stand up. Woo! Praise God. Yeah. This guy, hey, let them know. Let folks know, man. Hey, you're not just having burgers. You're an establishment that is founded by the kingdom. Do you say amen? I will tell you, Jesus said, everything that is not of the kingdom is going to be rooted up. So it's best, if you're an entrepreneur, is that the right word? Yeah. Yeah. If you're an entrepreneur, hey, make sure your company is doing things with the principles of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And if you are, you're going to watch that. You're going to watch that business. You're going to watch it grow. Oh, you might see some stumbling blocks in that business. Doesn't matter. The word of God says, I will back you. I am with you. And because it's kingdom founded, my friend, it can't do anything but flourish. You can't go by what you see. You can't go by what you hear. You have to go by what God's word says. Amen. Hallelujah. He is for us. Thank you, Sister Liz. Was that you? He is for us. He is for us. He's not against us. Is that right? Come on. Hallelujah. Well, I got kind of a different message last night when I was with the Lord. I said, Lord, you want to say? And so it felt kind of different. Okay. And let me just say this to you. When God gave me the vision that this church is under, when God showed me those visions, the first one he showed me, he said, Henry, here's the word of your calling. And it says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And I said, God, thank you for that, man. To see, it's a word. It's that word right there just lifts me up every time I get a chance. If I start feeling a little low, you know, somebody, hey, we're leaving your church or whatever, it's okay. But sometimes I say, Lord, how come folks are leaving? You know, he says, because I'm doing something, Henry. Is that okay with you? I said, oh, yeah, it's bad. You bad, Lord. But sometimes when I'm feeling a little low, these words, preach the word, be instant in season. Because I can preach the word. I can be instant in season. I can be instant out of season. But to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, those are some tough areas to get into. Can you say amen? But let me just say this to you. The word to me last night when I was reading it, when God was giving it to me, it felt like it had a little bit of reproof in it. Are you guys okay with that? Yeah. But let me just tell you this, though. God always builds. He never tears down. So if you feel a little bit reproved this morning, if you feel like God is correcting and shifting some things in your heart, let him do that. Will you say amen to that? Because he's building. He's not tearing you down. My heart is not to tear you down. As a matter of fact, this church is here because I believe that God's people needs to be lifted and picked up so they know exactly who they are. You need to know what God has for you. One of the reasons we have independently dependent upon God on our doorstep. Is it still in the window or do they take it down? No, it's still up there on the way out. Look up on your way out and you're going to see some letters you can barely see. And it says independently dependent upon God. This is a word that God has given us where he's challenging every one of us should be dependent upon him, no one else. Can you say amen to that? Cursed is a man that makes flesh his armor, that trusts in the arm of flesh. Cursed is that man. Can I tell you, you're not cursed. You are blessed. Amen. God has placed his spirit upon you. He's amen to that. And that spirit is going to take you places that you never realized you'd go. Is that okay? Yep. How many of you want to go places with God? Hey, you know what? I don't know if I want to travel TWA, but I will travel. Hey, wherever God wants me to travel and how he wants me to travel. You say amen to that? I was just thinking about Philip, how he was transported to see the Ethiopian eunuch. You guys remember that story? He shows up, delivers a message, and boom, God takes him out of there. Now, that's the way to travel. Hey, man, you don't need gas prices for that. Amen. You don't care what gas costs. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't need a ticket to get on a plane. I said, man, hey, I believe that's how we're going to get around. Can you say amen to that? Say, man, yeah, you know what, Lord? You want me to go to Brazil right now? Okay. Let's go. Grab your Bible. Okay. Boom, you're gone. Is that right? Come on, man. It's no secret. Remember that song? What God can do. He can do whatever he wants to do. Amen. You guys might think I'm crazy about saying stuff like that, but hey, you remember how Jesus left the earth after he was resurrected? He just flew, take off. Oh. Yeah, that's good. That's how I'm going to try to go home today. How do you say? To my house. Rosie, just leave me here. I'm going to see if I can beat you there. we gotta remember that we don't tempt God. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. We don't tempt him. We just say, hey, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. Can you say? Praise God. If you will, look in your Bibles today. The message today is called Test Everything. How many of you know that we are in a time where we need to check things? Can you say amen? You need to have that word of God. And when you hear something that sounds contrary to you, it should be giving you a red flag. Can you say amen to that? If it sounds contrary, check it. You have to check it. Because if you don't check it, then you really won't know for sure whether that was right or wrong. Can you say amen to that? If you just refuse it, what if God was trying to show you something new and you just refused what he was trying to show you? Is that okay? It's not okay. God desires to open things up to you. The word of God says that the ear tries words like the tongue tastes meat. How many of you have put something bad in your mouth? Do you just immediately swallow it? Not me, man. It's coming out. I don't care who's around. If it tastes bad, poo, it's coming out. Poo. No, that's not for me. Hey, feed me something else, man. Amen. But this is what the same thing. The ear tries words. Your ear is going to hear things sometimes, and you're going to go, well, I don't know about that. But you need to check it. Because it could be God giving you something good, or it could be something that's trying to distract you. One thing we don't need is distraction. Can you say amen to that? Let me just be real clear, because I have said some things up here, and I have said, you know, you got to read the book. Throw all your other books away and read the book. I mean, you know, and that sounds kind of cold and kind of hard. But I realize people like Westerns. Is that right? Some ladies like romance novels. Is that right? No? Okay. Look, I'm not telling you. If you're looking for God and revelation from God, go to His Word. You can read books from other people and stuff. It's okay. But don't expect the revelation out of those books like you get out of this book. The Word of God is alive. Is that okay? So you can, I mean, some people kind of misinterpret me saying, well, we're not supposed to read books. Hey, I got a couple of books that I like. I don't read a lot of books. I spend a lot of time in this book. But just so you know, I'm not trying to get after you because you like Westerns. Is that okay? I'm not, read your Westerns. Some people like Sports Illustrated. It's okay. Is that right? What I'm saying, as a body of Christ, as a people of God, we need to be looking for revelation from God. There's only one place to go, is go to His Word. Go to His Word. Let Him reveal the things to you that He wants for you. Can you say amen? No man should be led by another man. I said that already. Is that okay? It's okay if you don't believe me. Is that all right? It's okay. But believe Him. Believe the Word of God. Believe what He's saying. Is that all right? Okay, let me get going with this set. So you're going to hear some things in this, and I'm just praying that God's going to bless every heart. Amen? So let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that You are able to do far abundantly above all that we ask, and all that we can think, Father. So, Father, today, as we read Your Word, as we hear Your Word, Holy Spirit, I ask You to continue to minister to Your people this morning. I believe they were ministered to during the song service, and I believe that, Father God, You have something special for them today. So, Holy Spirit, help me to speak what You have for me to speak, and do Your work, Lord. I know that You are building and You are strengthening. We thank You for it and we praise You for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Mark chapter 15, starting at verse 22. And they brought Him to the place Golgotha, which is translated the place of a skull. Then they gave Him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, and He did not take it. And when they crucified Him, they divided His garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified Him, and the inscription of His accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." With Him they also crucified two robbers, one on His right, and the other on His left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And He was numbered with the transgressors." And those who passed by blasphemed Him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." It was not a nice thing to say. They were ridiculing Him. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with scribes, said, "He saved others, Himself He cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, and that we may see and believe." Even those who were crucified with Him reviled Him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Just stop there for a second. You know, these guys are ridiculing Him and then saying, "Hey, He said He was, you know, He could destroy the temple in 3 days, raise it up again." Look at where that brought you to, bro. Huh. They had a lot to say and ridicule Him of. They said, you know, if he's the Son of God, if he's the Christ, let him descend from the cross. You folks, he was the Christ. He was the Son of God. Would have shook them up if he would have descended from the cross, wouldn't it? It would have been a big change right then and there. Even the earth responded. You say amen? It became dark. Some say it was an eclipse. I don't know. Maybe some clouds pulled in. I don't know. But it says in the scriptures that it became dark when Jesus was on that cross. And in the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? Which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, look, he's calling for Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and take him down. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion who stood opposite of him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Here's a centurion, a Roman soldier. Maybe, I don't know if it was a Roman soldier or if it was one of the temple guards, but he said, this man was truly the Son of God. Why would Jesus do something like that? Why would he keep his mouth shut all the time that he was on that cross or even going up there? He had a few words for Pilate. Do you remember that? He told Pilate, you would have no authority over me unless it was given to you first from heaven. Scared Pilate to death. Pilate was scared. The scriptures say it. He feared. But because they asked him to kill Jesus, and he said, why should I kill him? They said, because he makes himself a king. He says he's the Son of God. And it scared him even more. But they said, you are not friend of Caesar if you let him live. So Pilate. I believe Pilate felt it was wrong. He even said, I will wash my hands from this man's innocent blood, is what he said. Isn't that crazy? Crazy. Jesus, why'd you do it? Why'd you do it? He did it for us. Amen? The Bible says this, you've seen this scripture. This is going to feel like you've heard this before. But John 3:16 and 17 says this. For God so loved the world. Will you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you realize what the gospel says to you? What it says to you? That you would not perish. I will say this to you, and I'll tell it to anybody. And I don't care. You are not designed to sin. God never designed mankind to sin. Your sins, when Jesus died on that cross, your sins were washed away. Can you say amen to that? I will say to you that, you know, I was listening to a song the other day and it said, well, while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You guys ever heard that song? He knew you when he was dying on the cross. I wasn't even born yet. Yeah, well, he knew you. He is the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. He planned for you to be sitting in Sarita House of Worship. on October 2023. Somehow I lost the dates here in this. He knew you'd be here. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. He's going to take you someplace. Can you say amen to that? Amen. He has got everything laid out for you if you'll just go to him and let him take you there. Is that right? Is that right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let me just say this to you. Jesus was not forced to die on the cross for you. Can you say amen? Amen. He made a choice to go after what his father wanted. Is that okay? We'll look at this next scripture. I guess it's John 5 verse 30 says this. I can of myself, this is Jesus speaking, do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. This is what Jesus said. He said, even the words that he's speaking to you, I don't speak them on my own. My Father gives me the words. This is basically what he was saying. I don't do what I want to do. I do what my Father wants me to do. I seek him for it. This is what I want. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Jesus was in the garden before the cross. And he's praying. And like, you know, hey, can if you can imagine what he's going through, because he knows what's about to take place. He knows how they're going to torture him. He knows how they're going to make fun of him. He knows how they're going to beat on him. He knows that he's going to take some nails through his hands and his feet. He knows it because he knows everything. But see, he loved you. He loved you. He cared about you. He says, the only way to get them to me is for me to go to them with a sacrifice. So when he's in the garden, he knows what's about to really happen. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen with his apostles. They're going to be scattered. He knows that he's going to be by himself. He knows it. And he says this. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you want. It's okay to ask God. God, can you do this? I want you to change this. It's okay. But I would say, as we as his people say, but you know what, Lord? Not my will. It's what you want. Are you comfortable with what God wants for you? Are you comfortable, or do you push away? Folks, I believe that God is saying, I want you to quit pushing away what I got for you and allow me to take you. See, Jesus talked about that. He says, if you're going to, you got to take up your cross. I think that's the next scripture. Is that the next scripture? It says this. Well, maybe I didn't put it down. But Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me daily. Is that right? Daily, not just on Sunday, but every day, pick up your cross and follow me. What is your cross? What is that cross? That's where you die to yourself. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We have to die to ourselves. See, there's a thing that's something about us that we don't want to give him everything. Can you say amen? Amen. Don't say amen. Right, Randy? Supposed to say, well, don't. Quit doing that to me. Quit telling me to say amen. And you go, amen. And you go, don't say that. Sometimes we think that we're not going to get along as well as we can unless we hold on to some stuff. But God says, hey, trust me. Let me take you to where you want to go, where I need to take you to. It is his will to do you good. Do you know that? The more you hold on to, the less he can get to you. It's like some of your folks' houses are full of stuff. Is that right? And every day, every week, I would say 4 days out of the week, you're taking in more stuff. How much are you taking out? Anybody? If you allow God to take you to where He wants you to go, you're going to find that it was the best decision you'd ever made. Isn't that crazy? He says, you know, hey, take up your cross, follow me. Take up your cross, follow me. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. I need you to look at this. Jesus says this. They were listening to Jesus, and somebody said, hey, Jesus, your mom and dad, or I'm not your mom and dad, your mom and your brothers and sisters are outside. Hey, and then Jesus said, whosoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. See, Jesus had a focus. Can I just say that to you? He was focused on the will of the Father. And the scriptures tell us that we're supposed to be like him. Our focus should not be so much on us, but on what he wants to do in our lives. Is that okay? Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 25 says this. Servants, let me just call you. Let me just say this to y'all. Kids, men and women of God, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, it endures in grief. I'm having trouble with that. Can you put that up again, Liz, one more time? Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if you are beaten for your faults and take it patiently? But when you do good and you suffer, you take it patiently. This is commendable with God. How many of you get upset? How many of you get upset when people tell you stuff that you don't like? Or you did something nice and they screamed and yelled at you. Has anybody been in that position? Do you immediately go to pray for them? Do you ask the Lord to help them? Or do you just get fired up and... I told you about my burrito experience. Let me. I was over at Rigoberto's. Rosie and I were. And I ordered a beef chorizo burger. I mean, burrito, not a burger. Beef chorizo burrito. And little girl goes, okay. So when I got it, it was just a beef burrito. Just had beef in it, had no chorizo. I didn't know at the time that they didn't have beef chorizo. They had pork chorizo. So anyway, I ordered this beef chorizo burrito, and when I bit into it, that's beef. That's just beef. So I went and I told her, I said, hey, yeah, I ordered a beef chorizo burrito. And she goes, no, you ordered a beef burrito. I said, no, I ordered a beef chorizo burrito. She goes, no, you ordered a beef burrito. And I said, no, I ordered a beef chorizo burrito. And she went, she got all, she goes, you ordered a beef burrito. And I looked at her, I said, okay. And I went back and I sat down and I was eating on that thing. And I wasn't too happy with that young lady. But I was eating and I was slamming it down. Take a bite and slam it down. And the Lord said to me, sometimes you don't get everything you want. Now, do you, Henry? I said, oh, boy. Oh, wait a minute. God, you saw that? Yeah, oh, he sees it all. Can you say we can't hide from God? How many know that? You can't hide from him. Hallelujah. I said, oh God, I love beef burritos. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. That was no attitude for me to have. How many say amen? God wants you to take it patiently, like a man or a woman of God. When something happens contrary to what you want to have, let the peace of God rule your heart. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 21. I'm going to say, because you were thus called, I'm sorry. Because you were thus called, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Now, Jesus leave us an example? He sure did. On that cross, he kept his mouth shut. Didn't say anything. He says, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Number one, he didn't commit sin. Folks, I mean, you are, if you're still telling yourself, well, I'll just go to the Father and I'll just get rid of it. I mean, if you are committing sin, you need to stop. Because he already paid for that sin. Can you say amen? It's already a done deal. You just need to quit going to it. You may need to make that decision just like Jesus. You need to take up a cross, follow him, quit doing that thing that you've been doing because you know it's contrary. You know God doesn't want you doing that. Stop doing it. Can you say amen? Because God will flood your life with light because he desires to take you someplace. Can you say amen to that? So the sin that you so easily step into, stop letting yourself easily get into it. Can you say amen? You can make the decision. Some folks says, well, I can't help. Oh yeah, you can. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's something that you decide, I'm not going to do that anymore. Hallelujah. I was a drunk. And I tried on my own to say, hey, I'm not going to drink anymore. When I tell Rosie that, she told me, this is her word. She was real nice to me. She said, shut up. I think I said it to her one too many times, maybe. One too many times. I said, hey, she just looked at me, she goes, shut up. I said, now I'm going to quit drinking. Shut up. But I knew I could not quit. But when I gave my heart to Jesus, it snapped. It was off me. It was away from me like whatever. I mean, all I know was I was free. I used to stop at the Circle K on the way home every day and buy at least 2 6-packs of beer to join to the house. And I had more beer at the house, so I had plenty of beer. I mean, that was my routine every day. When I left that mine, I gave my heart to the Lord in the mine. And when I left the mine, I went straight home, told my wife, I'm not going to be drinking anymore. What do you think she said? Shut up. That's exactly right. I said, oh yeah, this is going to take some time, Lord, isn't it? Hallelujah. Quit doing what you're doing. Just make a decision. You watch how the Holy Spirit will help you to quit. He will show you avenues to walk the other way. Can you say amen to that? That's called repenting. Going the other direction. Hallelujah. Christ suffered for us, leaving his example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. That's cool, huh? No deceit. Let me just say this something. I don't like speaking. What's his name? I don't like speaking. What's his name? Lucifer, devil, I don't like saying his name in the house of the Lord. Do you know why? Because he wants to be lifted up. He wants us to, but you see, he's defeated. You see, he's got nothing on us. You see, if he's saying something to you, don't listen. Is that right? Let me just say something else. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. You know what those means. The word omniscient, he knows everything. He doesn't know it. He's not everywhere. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You got people in California saying, well, the devil's bothering me. Then you got people in Texas saying, well, the devil's bothering me. Well, what the heck? Where's he at? Who knows? He's not that way. We, as the body of Christ, employ that guy. Do you know that? Because we said, the devil's doing this to me. Or I told the devil to shut up. Leave him alone. He's nothing to you. You see, we got to speak the truth. Do you say amen to that? We have to speak the truth. Jesus said, it says right here, there was no deceit found in his mouth. When you blame this character that has been defeated, you're not speaking the truth. Do you say amen? Why would you even walk that way? Because you are an image bearer. You bear the truth. And that's what God's after. You say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So quit blaming them. If you want to blame somebody, you're not going to like this. I'm going to say, you want to blame somebody? Blame God. Because he is in control of your life. Can you say amen to that? Blame him. There is nothing else out there. God is watching over you with his spirit and by his spirit. Yeah, he might let some things. Jesus said some tribulation might come towards you. But don't be afraid. I've overcome that world. Blame the Lord. Say, God, this is happening. Your fault. I belong to you. Amen. Some of you don't get this, man. But I'm going to tell you, this is the truth. You belong to him. The scripture says he orders your steps. The enemy has got nothing to do with it. He orders your steps. This is one of those places in the scripture where you go, what? God said this. He goes, I create light. I create darkness. I do good and I do evil. Whoa. What? Who let the snake into the garden in the first place? Who was that? My heavenly Father. Because he already told Adam, subdue the earth, take dominion over it. You can't subdue and take dominion unless something's pushing against it. So he says, hey, I'm going to have to let this guy in there. Get in there and do your work. Uh-huh. And he did his work. Is that right? And the man exhibited what God knew he was going to exhibit. A care for what he could see compared to what he didn't see, what he can't see. It's just like my burrito. Oh, God, you saw that. Yeah. Why? Because I didn't see him. Come on, man. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Are you holding in? Are you taking in? Hey, he had no deceit in his mouth. Neither should you. You want to blame somebody? Blame God. Amen. God, I'm in this position, Lord. Maybe I made some mistakes, but you brought me here. That's what your word says. You order my steps. I'm going to go with it. Amen. Some folks say, hey, some of you that might be brand new in here, I mean, you say, oh, I don't know about this guy. It's okay. Read your Bible. He committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he reviled not again. Is that all right? When they yelled stuff at him, they spoke, he just stayed quiet. To this, can I tell you what you're exhibiting when you were seeing this, when Christ was doing this? You're seeing a man that is in control of his spirit, that is in control of his soul, that is in control. This is what Jesus was. And he says, I'm doing it for an example for you. Is that okay? Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad he didn't just come to die for your sins and then say, okay, now handle it. It's so much more. So much more for you. Who himself bore our, it says, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. How many threaten? Anybody threatened anybody here? I'm going to sue you, bro. No, not you, Darren. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to sick my God on you. Threatening. Amen.
Bring it. There we go.
You remember the apostles? God, Jesus, should we call fire down from heaven on these guys? Should we do that? They're threatening. They don't get what he's trying to do. And sometimes we step into those areas. Is that right? We threaten. Now, sometimes a five-year-old says, hey, look, I'm going to spank you if you don't knock it off. Then that's a good threat. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
There's some threats that, man, you got to take care of. All right. But he committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, right?
Amen.
That we, having died
to sin might live for righteousness. Do you see that? He died so that you can obtain his righteousness. Is that cool? All right, then it says, by whose stripes, what? Peter says, you were healed. Not you are, but you were. I already healed you. It's already a done deal. He's already stepped into that cross and he said, you are healed in the name of Jesus. Can I tell you, cancer cannot survive in the glory of God. Amen. Arthritis can't survive in the glory of God. Amen. What are those mental things? Dementia can't survive in the glory of God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and what? A sound mind. All these things cannot survive in the glory of God. The glory of God dwells in you. Let it rise up. While you worship at home, put on some music. Worship the Lord. When you're driving down the road in your car, turn on some music. Worship the Lord. You don't have something to turn on for music, sing to him. Worship him. Let the glory of God rise up within you. I tell you, sickness and disease cannot survive the glory of God because of what Christ has done. Woo, hallelujah. Hey, man, that's good preaching, preacher. Come on, Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is, come on, man. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is the word. Check this out. Oh, there it is. I did give it to you. There, he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. That's a daily thing. Following what he has for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Now, this is one that, folks, get ready with this one because, hey, and look at your neighbor and say, get ready. Get ready. This is one of those scriptures that, you know what, a lot of Christians don't want to hear this, but the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to hear it. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you hear that? But he who does the will of my Father. See, there is something that Jesus is saying there. You got to do his will. If you don't know what his will is, you better start finding out. Can you say amen to that? He wants to show you what he wants, what he has for you. You need to go to him. Pastor Henry, Pastor John, Pastor Rosie cannot tell you what he has for you. You have to go to him. You have to search him. You got to go say, Lord, what do you got for me? Because he's got the greatest things you'd ever imagine. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. See, this scripture right here kind of goes against some of the theology that we've been taught. Can you say amen? Because we believe all I got to do is, Jesus, you're my king, and walk away and do anything I want to do at any time, any place. Forget him for 3 years and then come back to him. This is what he says. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we, listen to this, prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never know you. My son one time brought me this scripture and he asked me, he says, Dad, the word of God says that God knows everybody. He knows everybody. He knows them in the light of what he has for you. Can you say amen to that? He knows you that. He recognizes you as a son or a daughter of his. But when you do things contrary to what he has for you, that could be very bad for you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you. And then he says this, practice lawlessness. What does the law do? Law kind of keeps you. I try to get Rosie not to do 110 on the freeway. But see, she practiced lawlessness.
Hey, don't tell anybody. I'm just kidding. All right, yeah. Do you see what he means by lostness? You just do what you want to do. You don't do anything that I might want you to do. You just do what you want to do. This is lawlessness, guys. That's what he says. Practicing lawlessness. First Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2 says this. Now check this out. I really believe there was something going on in my heart when we were at the memorial for Steve's mom. It just kept rolling up and rolling up and rolling up. And it's something that God is, I really feel it in this service. And I really do believe that God is saying, hey, now's the time. Now's the time. Seek me now. You need to hear from me. You need to find out what I have for you. Turn off the TV. Turn off the whatever. Do whatever you got to do, but find him. Because he's speaking today, and he's speaking to the body of Christ. He desires for you to hear. Here's what he says. The Spirit speaks expressly. The Spirit expressly says, I'm used to the King James, guys. Sorry. So I'm using the New King James, so it's kind of messing me up. But it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Yeah. It'll be kind of interesting for you to find out that he's not really talking about the world. He's talking about people that claim to be Christians. He's talking about those that are watching. Let me just show it to you. When he writes again about it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1-5 says this. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be what? Lovers of them who? Of themselves. See, the cross removes you and allows God to take your life. Is that right? He says, take up your cross daily. So the cross removes you and it replaces it with the power of God. Is that okay? Man, I love that. He says, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures, rather than lovers of God. And then this is where you know that he's speaking about what he's seeing. These aren't people that are lost, folks. These are people claiming to be saved. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Do you understand what it's saying? Do you see it? Do you hear what he's saying? God is saying, hey, there's perilous time. Can I tell you, there's folks out there that deny the Holy Ghost an opportunity to do anything in their lives. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Is that what the scriptures say? Look at your neighbor and say, not me. Not me. Say, no, oh man, I am a child of God. Hallelujah. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. What is the power? The Holy Spirit is the power of God, yeah, but there's something different. Denying the power. Do you know what the power of the gospel is? It's the cross. It's that cross. You died on that cross with Jesus. You were buried. You were resurrected. You rose to heaven with him. And the scripture says you're seated at the right hand of the Father. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Everybody says, well, I don't know. Yeah, that's what it says. That's who you are. You have a position with God. You go to pray and God is saying, he's in prayer. She's in prayer. His ears are open towards all your prayers. Can you say amen to that? The power of the gospel, Romans chapter 1, I think it's verse 16, says this,
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. Can you say amen? That's all the scriptures I've got. Some of you are saying, amen. Yeah. Amen. Come on, man. It's over. Hey, can you stand? Let's pray. I just want, if there's anybody in the house that has never given their heart to the Lord, today's the day. It really is today. This is the day the Lord has made for you. Rejoice, be glad. Give him your heart. Let him take you where he wants to take you. Hallelujah. I sense the Lord say, if you don't know what he has for you specifically, ask him. Seek him. The word of God says, ask. Seek. And knock. What will be open to you? What God has for you, he's going to open it. Notice it says, ask, seek, and find. Notice that ask starts with an A, seek starts with an S, knock starts with a K, right? So what does that spell? Just says ask. Ask him. Ask him. He is for you. He's not against you. He desires to strengthen you beyond your comprehension. Can you say amen to that? He desires to take you to places you've never been before. You've never imagined that you'd be going. I never imagined being in this house preaching the gospel. I never imagined it. I thought I was done with a bunch of young people. I said, when I stepped away from the youth group, I said, yes, I'm free. Rosie. But freedom comes in doing what God has for you, knowing his will and doing what he has. Amen. So let's pray. I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you for your people, Lord. I ask you this morning, Lord. Lord, that you speak to every heart. Let every heart hear the words that were spoken to them, Father, how much you desire to show them what you have for them. But Father, they have to go to you. They need to seek you. They need to find you, Lord. And Lord, thank you that your word says, if we seek you, we'll find you. So Lord, I ask you to bless my brothers and sisters, everyone in the house, Lord. Let your blessings flow within them. Allow the Holy Spirit, Father God, to lead and to guide them. Father, we give you our lives. We speak to you, Father, do what you would with me. Create in me a clean heart. Allow me, Father, to hear those words that come from you, Father God. This is the path. Walk in it. Allow us, Father God, these things. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, give somebody a handshake, hug their neck, and tell them thank you for coming to the house of the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.